I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight about the topic on the board, the Bible Church. A lot of people probably never heard a lesson on the Bible Church. So, as a basis for the study, I'm reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say they are John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah," that's Jeremiah by the way, "or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed or happy art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," that means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou wilt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples, they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That's reading the book of Matthew 16, 13 through 20. And that passage sets the stage for the things I want to talk to us about tonight. The Bible Church. The first thing I want to mention to us about the Bible Church is that it was planned by God. We've been told by some people that the Lord intended to set up a kingdom, and because the Jewish people rejected him, that he, on the spur of the moment, changed his mind and decided, well, instead I'll just build a church. That's not what happened. The church was in the mind of God from eternity, according to the book of Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. He had the church in mind all along. And when you read about the prophecies about it and all the scriptures that foretold its coming would indicate that that's the way that it was. The second thing I want us to think about in regards to the Bible Church, that is, it was Old Testament prophesied. In the book of Isaiah in chapter 2 and several other passages deal with prophecies about the establishment of the church. I like Isaiah 2. Beginning with verse 2. Let me read that to you. "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now, the point I'm making from that passage is that the Bible Church is Old Testament prophesied by the Messianic prophet Isaiah. There are three or four things I want you to underscore if you have your Bibles here with you. The first thing I want you to underscore is the word "the last days." And then "the Lord's house." All nations. And Jerusalem. Those are the key words I want you to focus on as you think about the prophecy concerning the Lord's church. Now, our job is to find out if that took place. Did that happen? Like Isaiah said it would. And I believe that it did. And as a result of that, the next passage I want you to think about is in Acts chapter 2. And from that I want to make the point is that if the Bible Church is New Testament revealed. Are you with me? God planned, Old Testament prophesied, and New Testament revealed. In Acts, the second chapter, Acts chapter 2 is known as a pivotal chapter of the Bible. Everything turns on it. It's a pivot. Which means that everything before Acts 2 pointed to Acts 2. And everything after Acts 2 points back to it. That made it a pivotal chapter in the Bible. It's a very important chapter. One that a lot of people don't know very much about, because especially in the denominational world, they kind of avoid that chapter for some reason, because of the basic truths, I guess, that it teaches. It's the day of Pentecost. By the way, Pentecost is not the name of a church. It's a feast day of the Jew, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Acts 2 and verse 1. The apostles had been commissioned by the Lord to go to the city of Jerusalem and wait for the power from on high. That's the coming of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as took place in Acts in chapter 2 and verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, the apostles were. And they began to speak in the language of the people present, called tongues. And as you read down through there, you see these words of the prophecy being fulfilled. First of all, he said the Lord's house is going to be established. According to the book of 1 Timothy 3:15, the Lord's house is the Lord's church. And so I know then that he's talking about the church, because that's the Lord's house. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. He said that all nations would flow unto that place. And if you'll notice in Acts 2 and verse 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So we've got the right place, Jerusalem. We've got the right people, people flowing from all nations. And we've got the right thing being involved, the Lord's church. What about the days? He said it'd come to pass in the last days. The apostles were accused of being drunk. And Peter came to their defense by saying, it's a little early to be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Most people are not drunk that early. He said, we're not drunk. And prophecy is being fulfilled in Acts 2. In that he quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 to show that what's taking place in Acts 2 was prophesied by Joel in the Old Testament. Joel 2, 28 and 29, to show that what's taking place in Acts chapter 2 is taking place in the beginning of the last days. Every once in a while, you might turn the radio on or the television and some preacher's preaching and he said, you know, we're living in the last days. As if they just started last Thursday. The last day started back in Acts chapter 2. And it's a period of time from here to the end of the world. This whole dispensation is called the last days. And so we got the right place, the right people, the right time, and the right body, the New Testament church. And so God planned, Old Testament prophesied, and New Testament revealed. With me? The next thing I want you to think about in regards to the Bible church, that is, it's Christ built. I just read that, Matthew 16. The Lord said, I will build what? My church. That means it's His. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not of man, but it's of the Lord. It's His church. That's reading that it's called after Him, you know. And we're warned in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, you know the rest of that? They labor in vain to build it. And Matthew 15:13 points out that every plant that the Lord has not planted, you know what's going to happen to it? It's going to be rooted up. Would you like to be in something that's going to be rooted up? I don't. And so you need to be in the church that I'm talking to you about tonight, the Bible church, unless you be in something that's going to be rooted up. It's Christ built. I will build my church, singular, not churches. You know, there's just one church. The Lord said, my church. And there's one body. Ephesians 4:4-5. And that one body is identified as the church. Three places. Colossians 1:18, Colossians 1:24, and Ephesians 1:22-23. Not only was it Christ built, it was blood purchased. It's the next point I want you to think about. The Bible church was purchased with the blood of Christ. When Paul called the Ephesian elders down to the little city of Miletus to bid them farewell, he'd been preaching in the book of in the city of Ephesus for about 3.5 years. That's a scripture, by the way, that knocks the props from under the idea of no located preacher. You know, we have some churches who are no located preacher churches. Well, they need to talk to Paul about that. He was located in Ephesus for 3.5 years. I don't know what those people want. Do they want a dislocated preacher? Maybe they do. I don't know. But he writes that these elders in Acts 20:28 and said that the church was purchased with his blood. That makes it very valuable. You know, we put a price on something to show its value. And then somebody comes along and says, you know, the church is not very important. Can you imagine that? Something that was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, but it's not of any value. That's hard to believe, isn't it? We're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Therefore, glorify God in this behalf. The sixth point I want you to think about in our study tonight about the Bible church, that it was Christ headed. He's the head of it. Somebody has to head it up, or don't you got trouble? You got problems, you got chaos. We have a divine head. Ephesians 1:22-23, Colossians 1:18, and Colossians 1:24. The majority of churches today have human heads. And sometimes they are without one. The head dies, and until they can find another one in the Roman Catholic Church, when that smoke comes up, whatever they do, to find another one. A headless church. The Church of Christ is never headless. Because I read in Hebrews 7:25 that Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Not only was the church God planned, Old Testament prophesied, New Testament revealed, and Christ built, blood purchased, and Christ headed, it's Christ possessed. I mean, but that's his. In fact, Paul identified it in Romans 16:16 when he said, you know what he said in Romans 16:16? You ought to know that. The churches of Christ salute you. We got some brethren around the country that must be ashamed of that, because they've taken the sign down that says Church of Christ meets here. And they may put up Christians meet here. Or Main Street Church. What's Main Street Church? I don't know. Do you? Don't ever take the sign down. Don't ever be ashamed to identify the fact that this is the meeting house of the Church of Christ. Never apologize for that, because it belongs to him and it's identified in the New Testament as Christ possessed. But also, when you think about the Bible church, it's a Zion-laid foundation. Zion. Z-I-O-N. Remember that? The prophecies found in the book of Isaiah 28:16. And then identified in Matthew 21:42 as the New Testament church. Christ is his foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Which is who? Which is Christ Jesus. That's his foundation. With the chief cornerstone. So the Bible church is a Zion-laid foundation. You can't get no better than that. And it's the only one that meets that description. Also, when you think about the Bible church. It's one in number. One. I don't think I need to identify or define for you how many one is. Anybody here not understand how many one is? Okay, I assume then you know that. One is just one, it's not two, right? Don't forget now, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, just one. And that body is identified in Colossians 1:24, for his body's sake, watch it, which is the church, as a definition of it. And you can't get any better than that. The church is the body. Are you aware of the fact that the church is never called a church? Are you aware of that? It's always the church. Wonder why? Because it's just one. Never called a church. The church. Somebody said, we're studying the book of Revelation at 10 o'clock in the mornings. You might want to come in the morning. And someone said, I think I read in chapter 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation about the seven churches, plural, of Asia. We're going to talk about that. Not tonight, but probably tomorrow or next day. Someone said, there's the plural, churches. That's right. Different locations. Suppose you were talking about the churches in this county. How would you say it? Suppose there are 10 churches in this county. What's the name of this county?
Laura
County. There are 10 churches of Christ in Laura County. How would you say that? 10 churches, plural. Suppose all of them go out of business except one. How would you say it? The Church of Christ in Laura County. See how that works? And so he's just identifying it, the location. Not talking about different bodies. There's just one body. We've already read that. And so, it's the church. Like Acts 8:1. Saul made havoc of the church. Persecuted the church. And that helps you, I think, understand that the Bible church is one in number. Next. The Bible church is independently organized. Independently organized. Somebody says, Johnny, what do you mean by that? Keep listening. It means that every church of Christ is independent of every other church of Christ in the whole world. Are you familiar with the word autonomy? That means self-governing. The church is autonomous. You need to know those words because that's exactly how it's identified. In Acts 14:23, in regards to its organization, they appointed elders, plural, in every church. You see, that made every church independent. And when Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter 5:1-2, he wrote about to the elders, to be elders in the church among them. If you would draw a circle, and the elders cannot oversee anything out of that circle. They tried it in the past, and you know what it resulted in? The Roman Catholic Church. Did you know the Roman Catholic Church started out of the Church of Christ? Do you know that? Among the elders who wanted more power and position. The city elders, for example, would kind of oversee the county churches because they weren't as smart, they thought. And then some of the county church elders are pretty smart. I know some of them. Just as smart or maybe smarter than some of the city ones. But anyhow, they just kept expanding. They got statewide and kept going, and finally, one man was appointed head of the church on earth, the Roman Catholic Pope. They made a distinction between elders and bishops. Some were bishops and some were elders. Well, I hate to surprise them, but they're the same people. Those words are used interchangeably. The Bible talks about elders, and then it's called, sometimes they're called bishops, overseers, shepherds, flock feeders, example setters. That's elders. In every church, in Titus 1, Paul, Peter, the apostles left Titus in Crete, a little island, to ordain, that means to appoint, elders in every city. Somebody said, well, they had city elders. No. Every city where the church was. That's what that means from the other scripture in Acts 14, 23. And there's no central organization through which the church works. It's individual congregations like here, the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ is independent of every church in the world. And you can see the Lord's wisdom in that. Churches that are all tied up in some kind of super organization, if that organization that goes astray, it permeates down to the local church and all of them go astray. Suppose there's a church out in California that goes astray. We may never hear about it. It won't affect the Mill Street Church at all, because we're all independent. Then you can see God's wisdom in having the church independently organized. But also, when you think about the Bible church, it's Christ saved. Everybody who's saved from his past sins is in the church, the Bible church. Do you know that? None outside of it. How do I know that? When the first sermon was preached in Acts the second chapter, men heard the gospel, they believed it. They asked what to do to be saved, and they were told to repent and be baptized as believers. You know, what did the Lord do with these people? Had them to join up with something, right? No. Before they could join anything, the Lord added the saved to the church automatically. The saved in the church. Let me ask you this question. Don't answer out loud, just think about it. Does the church save? No. The church is the saved. See the difference? In Ephesians 5, verse 23, Christ is the Savior. Savior of what? The body. What's the body? The church. We already been through that, haven't we? You haven't forgot that, have you? Colossians 1, 24, and other places. Christ came to seek and save the lost in 16 words. Luke 19:10. And Luke 2:11. Christ is the Savior. And in the book of Matthew 1:21, the Bible talks about he's the Savior. He died to save the church, to save us from our sins. And then one other point, and the sermon will be yours, the Bible church will be God delivered. That's important. When the time comes, there'll be no more. Then cometh the end. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 15:23 now. What's going to happen when the end comes? We're told by some people he's going to set it up, set up a kingdom. Well, so we'll surprise those people by pointing out to them that he's going to deliver it up. And I've often said, I'll say it again. If you know the difference between set up and deliver up, you won't ever have any problem with premillennialism. It's that simple. Now, here's the kicker. You know what a kicker is? Okay. In order to go to heaven, in order to go to God when it's all over, you got to be in the church. That's a motivator. You know, sometimes we need to be stimulated and motivated That'll do it. That you plan to go to heaven. You got to be in the thing that goes there. What is it? The church goes there. What church? The Bible church. The one I've been talking about for the last few minutes. So my question is, are you in it? Are you? If you're not, you need to be in it. That is if you're interested in going to heaven. But if you're not, I wouldn't worry about it. If you're not interested in going to heaven, don't even think about becoming a member of the church at all. I'd advise you, don't even become a member if you don't want to go to heaven. Right? No need. Because that's where it's going to go. It's God delivered. How to get in? Well, you've already heard about it. You've already done some of it tonight. If you just halfway listen. And I can tell you did more than that. You believe it? You have to have faith or you can't please God. Hebrews 11 says. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. That means quit your meanness and do what's right. Have a turn around. Do better. That's repentance. Matthew 21:28 is a good definition, repentance. You know what that's about? A man had two boys. And he said, go work in my vineyard. One boy said, I'm not going to go. But he repented and went. What do you do when repenting? He changed his mind. How do you know he did? He went. That's the best definition of repentance in the whole book. Matthew 21:28. A change of mind that results in a change of action or life. And then the Lord requires a confession. It's a public confession. Jesus said, if you confess me, I'll confess you. Matthew 10:36. And the eunuch serves as a good example in Acts 8:37. You know what he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said that. Sometimes I hear preachers, when somebody comes forward to obey the gospel, they'll ask the person, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And sometimes I'll hear people say, mm-hmm. You like that? Mm-hmm. You think that's what the eunuch did? Mm-hmm. No, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what you need to do tonight if you decide to obey the gospel. That all? Not quite. Our Lord said, he that believeth, and words are important, remember? And what does that mean, and? That means something else is coming. And what? And is baptized, shall be saved. Bible baptism is a burial, Romans 6:3-4. It's an immersion. Colossians 2:12. Is for the remission of past sins, only past sins. No future sins forgiven. Somebody called me recently and said, our preacher said that if you come be baptized, all your past and future sins will be removed. That's not true. Baptism has absolutely nothing to do with future sins, only past sins. There are other. You know, God has different plans of salvation. He has one for the aging sinner. He has a plan for the Christian that falls away. And he has one for Christians to be steadfast and unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so that makes three different plans by which man can eventually be in that church that's going to be delivered unto God. Have we left out anything? If you're in this order tonight, you need to be baptized. We encourage you to do that. Or to be restored to faithfulness, you can do that. Let's sing the song.